the final meeting between Moshe Rabbeinu and between the Pharaoh. After this meeting, there will be no more discussions, no more negotiations.
That's it.
In fact, the next time the Pharaoh and Moshe will be speaking, the Pharaoh will be begging Moshe Rabbeinu, please leave. It's going to be after the plague of the firstborn. That's how the third reading of Parshas Bo begins, chapter 10, verse 24. Vayikra Pare El Moshe, the Pharaoh calls to Moshe on the cusp of the end of the plague of darkness. It says it was the 13th day of Adar. Vayomer, and he said, chapter 10, verse 24. Vayomer, the Pharaoh says, Luchu ivdu es Hashem, go and serve your God. Raktzoinchem uvakarchem yutzog. Just make sure you leave your animals behind. You leave your sheep here, your cattle. Gam tapchem yelechim moim. I was unwilling to allow the children to join. The children can join too. But leave your animals back. Now, when exactly did the Pharaoh call to Moshe? Ibn Ezra says that this was as the darkness was lifting. And as such, he no longer begs Moshe, please remove the darkness from us, because the darkness is now lifting. What he does say is that I am broken. I can't take this anymore. Fine. Go and serve your God. Now the Ramban asks a question. Why is it that the Pharaoh only spoke about sheep? He says, Rak tzoinchem uvakarchem. Says Ramban, Rechush Yisrael, whatever little possessions they had was mikne, was sheep. And the Pharaoh's point was, there's no way the Jews will leave their money behind and not come back for it. So he figured, in this way, we'll have what's called surety, have a guarantee. I need to make sure they're coming back. So the only way I can make sure they're coming back is to leave their whatever little bit of wealth they have. The Shachal HaTorah says there's something much deeper going on over here. He says that the Egyptians worshipped the Tileh. They worshipped the sheep. And as such, if they would take the Tileh and slaughter the Tileh, so Pharaoh was afraid, this would mean that the Israelites were dominant over the Tileh, or this divine power, the shaman or spirit that they worshipped. And therefore, they wanted to make sure that the sheep were left behind because of what it represented to the people who lived in Mitzrayim. What is the meaning of yutzog? It says your sheep will be yutzog. So Unkelus translates this as the term of aziva, leaving behind. He says you can go to pray, but shavuku, leave behind your wealth. And the Chizkuni says clearly what the Pharaoh was trying to create was a hostage situation. That's probably the wrong word. You know what I mean? It was not people, but something that they left behind. So they have a deposit. They know the return to take it. So that's the Pharaoh's. Pharaoh says, this is my best offer to you. You guys can go. Take your children. Leave your money behind. Leave the animals. Vayomer Moshe. Moses responds. And he says, not only are we taking our animals, gam ata. Titin biadenu, you'll be giving us animals. Zvachim ve'eilos, things that we will slaughter and use for offerings. V'asinu la'Hashem elekeinu, we will make a festival for the Lord our God. What's gam ata? The Medrash Sechel Tov says, if you remember, gam was when the Aaron threw his staff down. He said gam, says gam achatun. So Gam, then the Medrash said, refers to the wife of the Pharaoh. He said, not only you'll be giving us animals, your wife's going to give us animals too. Okay, that's what the Medrash says. So what is the pshat over here? The Ibn Ezra says that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Pharaoh, it's not only for us to serve God, you'll want to serve this God too. you'll ask us to represent you and bring offerings on your behalf. Ramban sharply disagrees. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu had no intention of taking anything from the Pharaoh. So why did he say, Gam atatitim biyadeinu? You too will give in our hands. So he says, he's just trying to make a point. He says, you're trying to, so to speak, hold on to us? Not only will you not hold on to us, but your residuals will be leaving as well. As Abarbanel kind of takes that direction, he says, even if you were to give us animals, we wouldn't even take your animals. But by making this statement, even if you were to give animals, Moshe Rabbeinu in effect said, there is nothing to negotiate. We will be taking everything with us. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Yutzog, on verse 24, means Yehei Mutzog. It's going to be staying right here, Bimkoime, right in its place. And what does it mean, Gam Ato Titen? Not only will our flocks go with us, but furthermore, Gam Mishalcha Titin. You too will be giving us as well. So Rashi takes this very literally. He says the meaning of Gam Ata means you as well will be giving us offerings. Not like Ibn Ezra. He doesn't say we'll bring offerings on your behalf. Not like Ramban or Abarbanel that it's a figure of speech. No, no, no. Moshe Rabbeinu says you, Pharaoh, will be giving us. In verse 26, Gam miknenu yelechimanu, all of our livestock will go with us. Loisi shoer parsa, we won't leave a hoof behind. Ki mimenu nikach lavid es Hashem, it's from these we will take to serve God. Vanachnu loy neida manave des Hashem, we don't know what God will ask for. We don't know how we're going to serve God. Ad bayenu shama, until we get there. In other words, the Pharaoh could say, I don't understand. You claim to want to worship your God for 3 days in the desert. So go worship your God. He said, no, no, no. We have to bring along our animals. Would the animals worship God also? Why do the animals have to come? Unless, says the Pharaoh, you have no intention of returning. Ah, and that's what I'm afraid of. And that's why I don't want to let you go. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, we need the animals because we're going to use the animals. And the Pharaoh could say, how many? And he said, I don't know. So we have to take everything along. Va'anachnu le'neida, we don't know what God is going to ask. First of all, Rashi says a parsa means a parsas regel, the hoof, so to speak. Palanta, balaz. What is that?
Kafregel.
In other words, what? The hoof beat?
Yeah.
Le'neida manavid, we don't know what we are going to, how we're going to be serving. Kama tichbad ha'aveda, how heavy will the load be? Shema yishol mimenu yoser mimash yesh biyadeinu. Perhaps he will ask more than what we have in hand, which goes back to what we said before. And therefore we have to take not only our animals, but we even have to take your animals. In other words, God will make a demand that's beyond what we have. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. And so the Pharaoh hears these words, and his response, Vayechazek Hashem eslif pare. He can't take this anymore. He wants to give in. Every fiber of his being is screaming yes, and he finds his mouth saying no. How did that happen? Because God strengthened his heart. And he could not agree, could not bring himself to send them away. And that's the story of how the stage is set for the final plague, which will be the plague of the firstborn. So, we don't know what God is going to ask of us. Radak says it means we have to take all of the different species because we don't know which animal God will ask that we bring an offering from. Ibn Ezra says both, like Rashi and Radak. He says we speak here about the min, we speak here about the species, we also speak about the kamos, about the quantity. So this is very, very challenging. It's challenging for our faith, and I'll tell you why. Because we live with the notion that God does not make unreasonable demands. That's the notion we live with. Now, obviously, this is in the realm of faith. This is not in the realm of what we understand. And oftentimes, you look at situations, and to us, it seems like God does make unreasonable demands. But we have to temper ourselves with faith and say, no, can't be. God would never make a demand of something that we can't do. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying exactly that. He says, we don't know what God's going to want. Maybe he's going to ask us for more than we have. And this is really, it would seem, a challenge to our faith system. It's a challenge to what we consider to be intrinsic to how we see our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this question and others is going to be answered here in the Beauty of Chumash today. Page Kuf Peves, Simen Yud. The Rebbe begins with a question which is echoed previously already by the Maskil of David, by Rasada and others. Okay, question number one. Ma Pesher Divri Meisha, what is the meaning of Moshe Rabbeinu's words? Quote, Shema Yishal Mimenu Yoser Mimashi Yesh Biadenu. Maybe God will ask us for more than we have in hand. B'chiyala al hadas, Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Yidrish, is it possible, could we entertain the thought, the notion, that God would ask us, Mibnei Yisrael, Dover, She'ein be'efshirusim l'kayme, would God ask us for something we can't do? Would God make an impossible demand? How could that be? Could God do that? If God can do that, if he can ask us for what we can't do, so this is like a checkmate on the whole idea of us serving Hashem. So he makes impossible demands. If he makes impossible demands, it's a non-starter. If it's a non-starter, so forget about it. Why even bother trying? But that's what he says. He says, we don't know what God's going to ask for. What does that mean? Yet yoisim imashu biyadenu? More than what we have in hand? Number two, if we don't know how much God's going to ask for, and it is distinctly and eminently possible, yes, it may be, we don't know, maybe God will ask more than we have in hand. What's the point? Maybe he'll ask us more than we have, so why should we even bother trying? Whatever we do, so where's the logic? We're not going to satisfy him anyway. So why bother trying to satisfy him? Many people who depart from Torah Judaism just make this argument. They say Judaism is impossible. Can't be done. And since it can't be done, don't bother. Don't bother. Don't bother trying. This is what Hebrew Christians say. This is what former conservatives say. So you can't do it anyway. God makes demands that are impossible anyway. You can't be an observant Jew. Everybody fails. Nobody gets it right. So why bother starting? It's a non-starter. And they seem to have solid footing in the Chumash, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, we don't know what God's going to ask for. We are concerned that maybe God's going to ask for more than what we have in hand. Well, in that case, wife, mother, child. Yesh leimar. So we might say the following. Shetshuva lakach, the answer to this, nimtza b'lashen Rashi, is actually found in the words of Rashi. The Rebbe always maintained that if you study Rashi right, you'll find the answer to any question you could possibly arise in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, in the literal, straightforward interpretation of the scripture. If you learn Rashi right, all your answers will be right there. So the words that Rashi uses is, quote, Shema Yishal Yoser, maybe he'll ask for more than we have in hand. In hand. Biodeinu. Biodeinu means in hand. What's the point? Omnam muvan shakadosh baruch hu lo yidresh mebnei Yisrael. It is indeed understood. It's implicit. God cannot ask or demand from the children of Israel more than they could possibly obtain. It is possible. It is possible that God will ask for more than we have in hand. So a person could say, maybe God wants what I have in hand, and maybe God wants more. He could want more than we have in hand. But in hand, more than we have in hand, doesn't mean it's not obtainable. It just means we don't have it already. So if God asks more than you have in hand, more than what's readily in hand, then what is this a sign of? If God asks more than we have in hand, what is God asking of us? Fill it up. Get it from somewhere. Find it. We don't have it in hand. All right, maybe you don't have it in hand. What am I talking about? You live. Where do you live?
Somewhere here.
It's a little cold? Yeah. It's a little cold. Tell me something. An esrog, it's a very important part of Judaism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have one growing in your backyard?
Hardly.
Unless I live in you think you could plant an esrog in your backyard here in Toronto?
If you built a greenhouse.
So, in other words, the way things are now, there are no esregim available. Yes, true or false?
True.
So you say, how could God ask you that you should take an esreg? It's not in hand. There are no esregim here.
Okay.
Right, they're true. There are no esregim here in Canada. But God still asks you to take an esreg. But how will I do it? How will you do it? As they say in the French part of this country, Megitza Chaneitza. Figure it out. But we don't have it. Yeah, you don't have it. So, get it. Obtain it. In other words, God does not ask only what's available in hand now. God asks you, what can you obtain? I won't say by hook or by crook, because it's a mitzvah ba de aveda. Doing a good thing with the wrong thing is not right. But it's what's in hand, what's available. And incidentally, if it's not available, God doesn't have that expectation of you. If you can't get it, then God can't ask you for it. Now, getting it might be very difficult. It might be really hard, but you can. In other words, as long as you can, you must. So where would the Jewish people get more animals from? If God's going to ask more offerings, which is not what this is about altogether, but that's the way it's being presented now, and that's the way it's being cast. That God's going to ask for offerings. So if God will ask for more offerings and the Jewish people have animals, where will those animal offerings come from? The answer is, mimiknehu, from the flocks of the Pharaoh. Can we ask the Pharaoh for flocks? You can ask. So Moshe says we just did. It's self-understood that the flocks of the Pharaoh were far larger. Infinitely, if you will, even larger. The Jewish people at the time were slaves. So what did the slaves have? Probably very, very few animals. Some pitiful remnants of a once proud residual. Once upon a time when Yankov Avinu came, the Jewish people were wealthy. There's nothing left. It's like a few meager flocks now. But the Pharaoh must have had abundant flocks. And divrei meisha bayim efe behemshech lepaskar kedim. So if you want to understand verse 26, you have to take a look at verse 25. The only way to understand verse 26. With verse 26 it says, v'anachnu lo neida manavoy des Hashem ad bayinu shama. We need to take all of our flocks because we don't know what God's going to ask us for. So if you don't know what God's going to ask you for, why bother taking all of your flocks? What's the answer? We're not taking all of our flocks. Whose flocks are you taking? Yours, says Moshe. Your flocks. Because if we can ask for your flocks and we can get your flocks, those are the flocks we're going to take along as well. And so, it is quite possible that God will ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yistapek b'miknesh b'yadeinu. He'll say, this is an offering. This is a paltry sum of offering. Ein hachanami, indeed, that's true. However, v'yidre shenakrev gam shalcha. He's going to ask us to take yours as well. And so, on this particular occasion, in the winter of 1986, the Rebbe went on to say there is a remarkable lesson in Avodas Hashem that is being conveyed to us here. Incredible lesson. What's the lesson? It's like this takes a leap of imagination. This takes a little bit. It's not exactly the couched and framed in the specifics of flocks and what's in hand. However, listen to this. Yadua Teiras HaBaal Shem Tev. There is a famous teaching from the holy Baal Shem Tev. This is brought in the book of Hayom Yom on the ninth day of the year. And the teaching is as follows. What is the definition of Avodas Hashem? How do we understand the concept of serving God? So there it says that a part of Avodas Hashem, a part of the efforts that are demanded that we make on a regular basis is Sha'ala Ha'odom Lilmeid Hayra'a Ba'Avodas Hashem. A person has to learn lessons, instructions for serving God. From where? From the Chumash? From the Mishnah? From the Tanya? No, not just there. Mikol davar shehu raya or shemeya. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, that must be a lesson of Avodas Hashem. If you saw it, there was a reason you saw it. That doesn't mean you went to see it when you shouldn't have gone to see it. But if it came across your path and you saw it, there's a reason for that. You heard about it, there must be a reason. So Avodas Hashem means that gam kibshem edubur ben yoni elim, when we speak about the pedestrian world, we speak about mundane and ordinary things, and somebody happens to tell you about it, there must be a lesson that you have to learn from it. You remember a guy named Hughes? Howard Hughes? Very wealthy man, right? And he disappeared. They say he was like filling gas somewhere in Jersey. And everybody was talking about it. So the Rebbe spoke about it by Febrengen. It was Pesach time, it was April. And the Rebbe said, somebody said to me, Howard Hughes, this wealthy man ran away. And the Rebbe went on to describe how it's a phenomenal lesson in serving Hashem. The Rebbe said the guy had endless resources. Countries prostrated themselves before him. He could have done anything he wanted. He could have done so much good. And instead, the thing that could have bought him the greatest freedom became the greatest inhibitor. Became his taskmaster. He became a slave to it. He couldn't live a normal life to the point that he had to run away from it all. And the Rebbe says, this is the idea of Pesach. This is the idea of Cheder, the idea of freedom. That we can be free. This is the proverbial Mitzrayim. So that which could be the greatest freedom became the greatest enslavement. But an interesting point that I'm making is that the Rebbe said, if he heard about it, there must be a reason he heard about it. If somebody spoke to the Rebbe excitedly, if the Rebbe heard about Howard Hughes, Rebbe said, if I heard about it, there must be a lesson of Avodas Hashem. That's what we mean. That's a Torah way to look at things. If you're wearing, so to speak, Torah glasses, when you look at anything in the world, it's the first question you ask yourself. What could this mean in Avodas Hashem? What lesson can I learn from this? If I didn't have a lesson to learn, God wouldn't put me in that situation. He wouldn't show it to me. So if you look at the world as a place which is devoid of godliness, and you're allowed to have a hobby and do a little bit, some godly things on occasion, you could spend some time in shul, you can do a little davening, you can study Torah, but don't forget, this is not what it's about. Like, you have to go back to the real world, so to speak. So then, why would that be a lesson of Avodas Hashem? How could it be a lesson of Avodas Hashem? It's beyond the purview of serving God. However, if we look at the world as Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing outside of God. And therefore, everything and anything that's created is created with a singular purpose. And the singular purpose is Hashem Echad. It's all about God. So if it's all about God, then everything has to be harnessed and channeled for Avodas Hashem. If you saw something, if you heard something, what is it? It's a lesson in Avodas Hashem. It's talking to you. It's beckoning to you. It's saying, come home. Get with the program. One could ask and say, this requires explanation. What if the Baal Shem Tov is saying? Learn a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Is it not enough to learn all the lessons of the Chumash? All the timeless stories of Torah which are eternally relevant, and I have to make that relevant to my day and age? Is that not difficult enough? Talking about a pharaoh and talking about sheep and talking about slavery of 3,300 years ago, that's not difficult enough. Now I have to make sense out of the lunacy of the everyday world. Why? What? It's not good enough to stick with the Torah? You have a tzedich, you have a need not to go and spend the whole day reading Facebook to try to find a lesson of Avodas Hashem. But if you come across something, you have to find a lesson of Avodas Hashem. So you have to learn it. B'derech hakifa, kind of like in a roundabout way, minyoni chulin shavayilim, from material things which are not prohibited, but at the same time not necessarily in the scrimmage of holiness. V'zeh o'shanam edem ikan. This is exactly what we learn from this story. Le'itim, there are times in our Kodesh Baruch Hu mistapik v'kach. Shenave, they say, God says it's not enough, it's not sufficient for you to serve me in mashiyesh b'yadenu, from what you already have in hand. In the lessons, in the directives, in the instructions that we have in serving Hashem, which are already clearly articulated and spelled out with the Torah studies that we have in hand. Here, these are things that are already lessons in Avedas Hashem. You say, well, maybe it's not enough. Maybe you need to look beyond that. Sometimes, and maybe God asks that we serve Him not only from the Torah we already have in hand, but in fact also from Emtsois Mikneo Shopare, from the flocks of the Pharaoh. So the flocks of the Pharaoh, it's a euphemism. It's a metaphor. What's it referring to? The Pharaoh was no tzaddik. The Pharaoh wasn't helping everybody serve Hashem. The Pharaoh didn't say, my flocks are at your disposal. Please, let's serve God together. The Pharaoh said, who is God? They never heard of Him. I have no interest in dealing with this Narishkeit mumbo jumbo. Go back to work. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, actually, we are going to be serving God. And you're not only going to let us serve God, we're going to be using your residuals too. So when you take from the material world, you're taking like from the flocks of the Pharaoh. And these are the heroes, these are the lessons, euphemistically speaking. And that, my dear friends, these are our marching orders. We have a job to do. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? He may well be asking us to go beyond the scrimmage of the Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses. He may be asking us to find lessons in Avodas Hashem beyond that which is organically already a reflection of God's will, the teachings we have already. He may be asking us to find freshness, creativity, and novelty, because ultimately, everything in the world was created by Hashem for only one purpose. As the sages tell us, Lebra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu Davrech Levatol, nothing was created for no reason. And everything was created lichvodei, for the glory of God. And our job is to make that happen.